This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You've been here how many times now for this? Do you recall? At least a couple, right?
At least a couple,
and
yeah.
And your reason for being here, I mean...
Jim Kelly.
Exactly.
And his family. You know, listen, I'm a huge fan of Jim's, and who doesn't admire Jim? Not just from his playing days, but... all the struggles that he's been through and the challenges and how he's overcome them. I'm a huge fan.
Roger, as far as the looking at the Bills and the, you know, the discussion of stadium has been over and over again, and the league's preference is certainly there to get something newer, more competitive. Where, in your mind, where does that stand, at least in terms of conversations you've had with the Bills?
Well, I think they're, you know, doing the work and talking about what it takes and what do they need. And because each one of these, there's no, you know, there's no secret sauce. What works in Dallas doesn't work in Buffalo necessarily. The reason why I'm supportive of this is because I want to make sure this franchise remains stable here and continues to remain competitive. And I think it's great for this community. And we've been able to do these stadiums in such a way that it creates a tremendous economic benefit too. And that's what I want the Bills to be successful, and I want them to continue to be competitive here in Buffalo.
Is there a challenge still to that, given the market size and so forth? Are there realities that...
Sure, but it's not that we haven't had this in every market size. So stadiums are important to the franchise. They're important to the competitiveness as well as importance for the fans. I mean, you know, the fans expect a higher quality stadium than they did 20 years ago. And more technology and more of the things that will bring them out of their homes to go to a football game.
Do you feel it's trending that way, Roger, with the Bills, that the new stadium is in the future at some point?
I don't know. A lot of the leases that we've done over the years have contemplated, you know, a period of time to sort of look at that and to sort of see where the stadium is and whether there's a potential for that. And that's what we'll do. We'll continue to work with the various public officials as well as private officials and try to see what the right solution is.
And you talked about stability. What stability have the Pegulas, have you noticed since 2014, have they brought to Buffalo and the Bills?
Well, just as the Wilsons did, I think they love the community. They want a winner. They care about winning. They care about doing things right in this community. And I think they've taken that approach. They've taken the long-term approach to say, let's build a winner here, but let's also do it the way the community is going to be proud of this franchise. And I think they have, and I know we at the NFL, we're fortunate to have the Pegulas. Both Terry and Kim have been active on the league level. And so we're happy to have them here in town.
Roger, there's a report over the weekend the NFLPA might want to tweak the playoff seeding. Eric Winston was maybe something for that. Maybe not give the division winner the first round bye and go by record. Would that be something you'd be interested in as you go forward in the new CBA?
Yeah, we've talked about that a lot, not just in the collective bargaining negotiations, but we've talked about that over the years. It's a healthy debate, so we're happy to have that conversation with the players. We're happy to have that internally as we have with the coaches. A lot of coaches have expressed, the first objective when you come into the season is to win the division. And you win the division and you deserve a home playoff game. And that's something that, you know, that would obviously modify that slightly. And so we'd have to really look at that and try to balance that with our clubs as well as the players.
I know it's really early, but how would you characterize things right now where they stand with the CBA negotiations?
I know this sun feels so good right now. You can ask whatever you want. go ahead, sorry.
That's all right. I know it's early right now. How do you feel about where things stand right now in early CBA negotiations?
I think the fact that we're talking is the best sign. We all agreed that respectfully we'd keep the conversations to the table. We'd have those discussions and try to see what aspects of the collective bargaining agreement we think we all can improve on from both perspectives, the ownership and the clubs, as well as the players. And I think that's happening, and I think that's a positive sign.
Hey, Roger, given what happened in the NFC Championship game, where are your thoughts on instant replay, where it's going, and it also expressed the disappointment you felt by what happened in that game?
Well, you know, officiating isn't perfect. We know that. It's a tough game to officiate. I was with a bunch of officials on Friday. You know, it's fast. And just like the commissioners and coaches and players, officials make mistakes too. But what we tried to do is use, you know, replay to be able to catch those obvious errors. That was one of them, you know. And so we've expanded it now to include replay. We actually have a series of conference calls with the coaches tomorrow and Wednesday. We got authorization from the ownership for the competition committee to potentially make some revisions to the replay, primarily in whether there's a coach's challenge in the last 2 minutes on the pass interference calls. It would still retain with the replay official in New York to be able to make every other call in the final 2 minutes. But for pass interference, we may do that from the coach's challenge. And that's the discussion we want to have with the coaches to continue that and make sure we get the right system.
Going to overtime, it seems to be it's been pushed back for a year. Where do you think that's ever going to get resolved with the two, getting the boat, getting fair possessions in overtime?
Well, I don't know if I go for the fair possession because, you know, football is a game of, you know, you play offense, you play defense, you play special teams. It's part of all of that. And the challenge for any game is to win in regulation. And so what we like is the sudden death nature of the current rule. You know, if you get the football to start the overtime period and you drive all the way down, score a touchdown, you know, most coaches say, hey, we deserve to lose. We didn't stop them. That's part of football. That's why a few years ago we made the change to take the long field goal out, because there were circumstances where you could have a long return or you could have a long penalty and you kick a long field goal. You know, that wasn't – if you got the ball and you scored a touchdown,
right,
you know, you deserved to win.
So
there are still ideas, though, that we're still talking about in the context that we always probably look to tweak it.
So will it be it'll be revisited next year?
Sure.
Yeah.
I can't I don't want to say how many years I've been involved with this league, 38 years. But I would tell you that we probably thought about overtime most every one of those years and discussed different concepts.
Ryan, how much of an impact do you see eventually gambling having on positive way on the business of the league, and in particular, again, markets like this that can use all the new revenue it can find. What's your position on gambling?
Listen, you know, we didn't push for the changes. We were, you know, we've discussed it for several years about how to be prepared, because we see some of the changes, and obviously the Supreme Court made their decision roughly a year ago now. And we're prepared for that. And I think the benefit to it is for the fans is going to be there'll be more engagement. There'll be more ways to sort of engage with the game and to experience the game. On the negative side, though, you want to make sure there's consumer protections in there for our fans so that, you know, they're getting the right information. They're getting in a timely basis. And whatever transactions they do are done appropriately, safely. And it also doesn't affect the integrity of the game, which is number one to us. You know, we've always said that. We want to make sure we protect the game, that our coaches, our players, officials, no one is out there in a circumstance where people are second-guessing what they're doing, that it's being influenced by anything other than what's going on that field.
Roger,
one or two more, guys.
18-game season, or maybe a shortened preseason or both or something, is something you really want to look at for the next year?
Yeah, I've been pretty strong on our preseason. I think things evolve over the years. I'm not sure, you know, in talking with coaches, that 4 preseason games is necessary anymore to get ready for a season, to evaluate players, to develop players. There are other ways of doing that. And we've had a lot of discussions about that. And, you know, I feel like what we should be doing is always of the highest quality. And I'm not sure preseason games meet that level right now.
Roger, when you've seen the
last one,
draft get pushed around in different cities.
We don't push it, we pull it. Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Putting Cleveland and Kansas City both recently, fans here in Western New York wonder if that would ever be feasible in Buffalo. What do you guys look into when deciding where the draft may go?
Yeah, I mean, it's a relatively new concept, as you say, moving it around. It's worked great for us. And really, the reason it's worked great is I think each city's taken it and sort of wrapped their arms around it and done it their way. You know, when we were in Nashville, that town took that event and they just made it theirs. And it was extraordinary. I mean, 600,000 people attending it in 3 days, almost 50 million people watching it. It really reflected well on the city, and in fact, we just got an economic impact just last week. I think it was $224 million for the 3 days for National, which is obviously a big event, and it has a great impact. So I think that we're going to continue to do this. The cities that are interested in it, you know, it's getting more competitive. I think we had 12 cities that were in Nashville a couple weeks ago or a month ago, and they were all there trying to figure out how to do it better. And each city raises the bar for the next one. And I think that's what's exciting for us and for our fans. And it's a chance for us, you know, it's a free event, so access is not an issue. You know, people can come to it even if you're not in that town. And so for us, we intend to keep building it and trying to make it bigger and better.
Got a last one.
So, Roger, when I walked up, you were talking about the future of the Bills in Buffalo. And my question is, the NFL didn't really take care of the fans in San Diego. Why should the fans in Buffalo trust the NFL to take care of them?
Well, you're talking exactly about what I was just talking about, which is the importance of a stadium. A stadium is going to maintain the kind of fan base that's going to keep the team competitive and allow us to be successful in that market. And that's exactly why we're focusing on it here in this market as well as we have every other market. I think there's been $13 billion spent just in the last 8 years on stadiums across
the
NFL.
Because
it's not always about the NFL building. It's a public-private partnership in almost every case. Now, of that $13 billion, 11 of it was private money. But there's also ways for the public to participate and to find ways to solutions. So these stadiums are complicated. They're difficult. And that's exactly why you may have missed it, but the discussions have to go on between the public sector and the private sector to figure out what's best for the community. How do we develop this? How do we do this right? And we've been really successful in doing it around the country.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.